Loving God, I pray that you would use my words this morning, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak into each of our hearts what you would speak to us today, and that we would have ears to hear. Amen. If you'd like to take your seats. We all love a good barbecue on the beach, don't we? It's a really nice little scene there that we've got there. There will be some pictures that are coming up as I go through, so hopefully that will help us to sort of imagine the story, etc. So, in the Gospel reading, what we've heard is some of the disciples had gone fishing. They caught nothing all night, great for expert fishermen. And as they come in, Jesus tells them to cast on the other side of the boat. Now, we go for the next slide. So they're always not very quick to understand. Can you see what that says? It says, "You idiot, he said cast the nets." And they're there with their castanets. And I think we can be like that too sometimes, can't we? We might feel the prompting of God, but we're not always quick to understand, or sometimes maybe deliberately try not to understand. But they do as Jesus said, and they catch 153 fish. They then eat breakfast that Jesus had prepared for them. And at the end, we see the conversation with Peter, where Jesus says to him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter says that he does, echoing the three denials. And Jesus then tells Peter three times to care for his sheep. Peter is restored by Jesus. If we go to the next slide. And this picture that we see of them fishing, casting of the net, is very similar to a story we read at the start of the Gospels in Luke chapter 5. When Jesus first calls his disciples, here he encounters Simon, now known as Peter, again an expert fisherman who had caught nothing all night. And in the story in Luke, Jesus gets in the boat and asks Simon to put out from the shore and put his nets into deep water. And like the account in John, what results is a huge catch of fish. I noted interestingly that in Luke, the nets broke. And in John, we are told the nets were not torn. Now, reading the story of John, there's probably some significance in that. Probably we could ponder on that. Is there a difference that the resurrection makes in our lives? And in both accounts, the fish are linked to discipleship and mission. Fish equals people. And in Luke, we see the phrase, "From now on, you will be catching people." You used to catch fish, now you'll be catching people. And it says that they left everything and followed him. And I don't know about you, but I think we often have this image of they were fishing, Jesus told them, off they went, following Jesus, and if you excuse the pun, from then on everything was plain sailing. Now, that probably wasn't how it was. There was probably the ups and downs and the realities of life that we face as well. And actually what we see here is a group of guys that have encountered the risen Jesus. Jesus is risen. Death is defeated. Let's go fishing. You know, it's not quite, is it? Well, if we were to imagine how it would go, we would expect it. They've gone back. They've encountered the risen Jesus. And they've gone back to what they know. And I take courage from that, because I think sometimes our journeys can be a little bit like that as well. And sometimes we need to retreat, and maybe they just needed to retreat and have some time. So what can we learn, seeing that these stories are obviously about mission? What can we learn from the readings that we've heard today? We have the next PowerPoint, please. So we've got the disciples casting the nets from the boats. Firstly, the casting of the nets. They needed to listen to Jesus. They needed to follow Jesus' instructions. Interestingly, when they did it, they didn't know it was Jesus. There was this prompting that came, and they obeyed. They needed to follow the voice about where to cast the nets. And maybe sometimes the voice that might come to us about casting the nets, We might not immediately recognise that to be the voice of Jesus, but it may be the voice of Jesus to us. The expert fishermen had caught nothing. They'd done it their way, and it hadn't worked. It must have worked in the past. They must have gone out and did what they did that night, expecting to catch fish, because that's why they did it that way. They wouldn't have gone and done it that way if it hadn't worked before. They catch nothing. And Jesus says, cast the net on the other side. Now, if that was the church today, I can imagine it. But we've always done it this way. We like these nets. We've always put it down here. Jesus says, cast the nets on the other side. If they hadn't have listened to Jesus, there wouldn't have been an abundant catch of fish. And I wonder what God might be saying to us today. What about us? Where are we labouring all night? Or sometimes just napping off and going fishing and catching nothing? Where are we relying on our abilities as fishermen rather than listening to the voice of Jesus? Where are we saying, but we've always done it that way and it worked before? Where are we trying but catching nothing? Have we been fishing on one side, doing it one way because it's worked in the past, hasn't it? At one time catching fish, but now often reporting empty or at best very sparse nets. I want to suggest to us today that like the disciples, we need to urgently hear the voice of Jesus. Whether we immediately recognise that to be the voice of Jesus or not, those little promptings to cast the net on the other side. And like John was the one, not everybody recognised this was where Jesus was leading. Not everybody recognised it was Jesus. It was John, he said, it's the Lord. And then headlong went in Peter. And it may be among us that there are the Johns that are perceiving where it is the Lord and where the Lord is speaking. And we need those voices, and they're not always the loudest voices. So where is Jesus calling us to put down the nets? One of those places, I believe, is gathering place, where we're seeing, if I mix a metaphor, fruit, or should I say fish. And as a church, both in this place and across the nation, and particularly across the West, we need to be asking the question, where should we be catching the nets? Where are we going out and saying, we've always done it this way, it used to work in the past? I think in this day, Jesus is saying, cast the nets on the other side. And we need to hear the voice of Jesus as to where we are casting those nets. It probably means a different place. It probably means a different way. What is interesting in this story is there is no lack of fish. Lots of theologians come up with lots of different theories about what the 153 mean. And that could have been a whole sermon in itself. There were a lot of fish. It probably did mean something because John was into his numbers. There isn't a lack of fish. If the fish is the mission we're called to, there is not a lack of fish out there. Or as another bit in the Bible says, the fields are white for harvest. There's not a lack of a harvest. But we're fishing one side and saying, this is how we've always done it. It used to work in the past. Let's just keep doing this. And the nets are empty or sparse. Jesus is calling us to put the nets down in a different place. I've lost my page. So what are the fish? The fish are those that come to faith and have life in Christ. This can only happen if we are listening and if we are fishing in the right place. They caught nothing all night. But the resurrected Jesus meets them at daybreak. And I think with that light and the darkness, the night of doing it without Jesus, and catching nothing. And Jesus coming at daybreak is significant. The resurrected Jesus meets them at daybreak. And I actually believe that it is a new day for the church. For the new day for the church in this place. A new day for the church in... We cannot rely on the old way of doing things. We cannot rely on our own abilities as supposedly expert fishermen. I don't feel like much of an expert fisherman. We need to look to see where Jesus, both individually and corporately, is calling us to cast the nets. Listening for Jesus. Listening for Jesus to lead us into mission in unexpected places. We heard that in the book of Acts. Can you imagine it? Ananias comes to faith in Jesus. I want to go out and be a disciple. He didn't in his wildest dreams think that would mean a little voice saying, go and meet with the murderer of Christians, Saul, and introduce him to Jesus. Now, if that was me, I might have been like those disciples. And I'm going fishing, thank you very much. He listens to the voice and he responds. The mission for him, the casting down of the net for Ananias, meant going to very unexpected places. But like the disciples in the boat, he obeys Jesus, and the rest, they say, is history. What are our unexpected places? Who are our unexpected people? So we need to cast the nets on the other side, not rely on the way we've always done it. And I think this is something it's sort of been buzzing around my head for months, and I've said a couple of times. I know that Andy said something very similar in the report that he did when we had the APCM, which I'm sure you all read from cover to cover. We need to think about casting the nets on the other side. But secondly, if we are going to fulfil the mission entrusted to us, like the disciples on the beach, we have to allow Jesus to feed us and sustain us. Go for the next one. In the account that we've read, Jesus had already prepared. We often read the story and think they got the fish and they took the fish and had the breakfast. If we read closely, they didn't. Jesus had already prepared the fire. He was already cooking some fish and some bread. The meal, the sustenance that Jesus gave them was not dependent on them. It wasn't dependent on their fishing. It was dependent upon him. And they simply added what they'd caught to it. The disciples needed sustaining by Jesus. Here an image similar to that of the Last Supper. Are called to come, to be fed, to be sustained by Jesus. And in the mosaic picture that you see up there, for those of us that might have had the privilege of going to Israel, I've stood and looked at this mosaic. It's a picture of the Sea of Galilee, and it's a picture that was discovered by the Sea of Galilee. Not of bread and wine, but of bread and fish. Very similar to the loaves and fish in the feeding of the 5,000. What does it remind us of? It reminds us of the abundant provision of Jesus. We bring the little that we have, and Jesus multiplies it. Here, the risen Jesus continues to bless and feed, as he did pre-crucifixion and resurrection. Continues to feed and sustain his people, his disciples. He does the same for us today, if we will come and sit with him on the beach. And this image here is often used in conjunction with the Eucharist. I've received communion off plates and from goblets that have got this on it. As we come to Jesus, we are fed by him in both word and sacrament. Jesus continues to be with his disciples, to meet them, to guide them, to feed them, to sustain them. And who is it that Jesus calls and sustains in mission? Well, the reality is, a bit like us, it's a right mixed bunch. In the story, we've got Simon Peter, who impetuously runs into the sea fully clothed to meet Jesus. and the one who died is restored. We see the faithful, loyal John, the one who recognises that it's Jesus on the beach. And as I said, we need those Johns among us, sensing where God is present, sensing where God has at work and speaking it out. It may be that the place to cast the nets is this community. Somebody sat here is hearing the voice of God. We need to be the Johns that are prepared to say, I think that's Jesus. I think that's where Jesus is. And we see in Peter and John, I think, the introvert and the extrovert. The considered who sits on the beach, oh, it's the Lord. And that is Jesus, I'm running headlong into the sea. We see Thomas there, who had doubted and then makes the supreme declaration of faith. And then we talk about the sons of Zebedee and two others. The people who fade into the background a bit, but are there, included and active. The unsung heroes. And I think we have many of those here. Yet Jesus calls and sustains them all. Different personalities, some more prominent, some not. But the consequences of following Jesus, although there's a whole range of people there, for those people, the consequences of following Jesus will differ. For you and I, the consequences of following Jesus will differ. For Peter, it meant martyrdom. For John, it meant living to a ripe old age. And Jesus effectively says to Peter, what's it to you what happens to everybody else? I'm telling you, follow me. And Jesus says the same to us. Don't look about what everybody else is doing. Don't look about what it might mean for everybody else. I'm saying to you, follow me. So like that mixed bunch, with mixed futures, Jesus calls us to follow him into mission. Like them, the risen Christ meets with us. Meets us where we are at. He met them where they are at. He shows them where to cast the nets. Will we listen to where Jesus is calling us to cast the nets? And will we just go, no, we're going to do it this way because we've always been doing it that way and it worked before? Or will we listen to Jesus and see an abundant catch of fish? And will we come to Jesus and allow Jesus to feed and empower both doubters and deniers alike for his mission into the world? Let's listen to where Jesus is saying, cast the nets. And let us keep coming to be fed and sustained by Jesus. Amen.